We have a basketball program that we all expect to compete for Big Ten and national championships year in and year out.
There's no other way to look at it. It's one of the better jobs in the Big Ten.
Final four! I didn't think you got me this good, but it feels good!
Welcome on in, everybody, to the boardroom. Maddie here alongside Josh, Johnny, and Sam. And ladies and gentlemen, we are back for our fourth season. Believe it or not, we were actually talking before we hit the record button, and we said, how many seasons of this thing have we done? And we actually had to count for a second. So welcome back, everyone, to our fourth season. If you're new here, let's first talk about what we are not. We are not a podcast. We are not going to give you what, guys? We're not going to give you analysis. We're not going to give you recruiting. We're not going to give you anything insightful, essentially, in terms of the actual teams, X's and O's, wins and losses. Someone tell me what why the listeners actually should listen to us here at the start of year four.
We're going to say some dumb things. We're going to say some funny things. And I guess we're just going to, like, die by this team. We've had some ups and downs. Fortunately, the last 3 years have been mostly ups minus the tournament. We're just going to, like, fuck around and talk about Illini Twitter and talk about some of the fun things that we just beat the number one team in the country, which means we're all the way back and the best team in the nation. But yeah, that's a little bit about us.
What we also won't do is wrap up last season. You might see a 7-month gap in the time we last recorded to now, and that was on Selection Sunday of last year. We don't talk about any arguments that might have had between Sky Clark, Matthew Meyer, Brad Underwood. Those are not our conversations. We talk about what's our current team and what's ahead of us.
I know, it's crazy. The last time we talked, everyone was hating on my guy, Coleman Hawkins, and now we come
here
back.
Here we go. Lean right where we are.
Coleman Hawkins is the talk of the town. Everybody loves him. He was on Twitter. Everyone's like, Coleman's my guy. Like, it's great to be a day one Coleman Hawkins fan, you know. It's good to be back, boys.
It took Johnny 45 seconds to get back into the thing that he's been arguing with us about for 3 years. It took Johnny just immediately 45. He immediately got
it took
right
me
back.
A lot of restraint to not say the first thing out of my mouth, I'll be honest.
I love it. Well, if you're new here, Robert, you know, asked us to start this podcast a couple of years ago. We're I almost said recent college graduates. I'm not sure if that still categorizes itself as such, to use the word recent. We've been out now for, what, now 5-ish years. So I don't know if we have as much of a pulse on the college campus or on what the kids are up to these days. But what we are good at, as Johnny alluded to, is we know Twitter. We know how to fuck around. We know how to make jokes. We know how to maybe not take things too seriously. Like, I know one thing, Sam, one of Sam's goals this year is to participate in the podcast this year. I know he's really going to, I know he was telling before we started recording that you've heard from, if you're new here, you've heard from me, Maddie, obviously you're going to hear from me a lot. You've heard from Josh. You've heard from Johnny. We do have a fourth person here. His name is Sam. Sam, do you want to say something, big guy?
Special guest. Yeah. Well, I won't bring up how Sky Clark's team just lost to a D2 program in front of an empty stadium, because that'd be really bitter of me. So I guess I'll just say hello.
Yeah, we will talk about Sky Clark losing. We will not talk about how Jaden Epps put up like 40 points in a secret scrimmage. All right.
We won't talk about how we supposedly boat raced Kansas in a secret scrimmage last year too, but that one wasn't on TV.
That one was different. They weren't ranked number one in the country, you know. Yeah. It was different. We also won't talk about how in Vegas last year we met Jaden Epps' dad and we're like, we love you. We love your son. Like, and he was just the nicest guy ever. A lot of things on our do not talk list.
Well, let's get into some of our do talk list. Again, if you want expert insight, if you want X's and O's, if you want breakdowns, you know where to get them. Let's talk about where should we start, guys? I know we had a couple of things that we wanted to definitely hit on, but Josh, where should we start?
Yeah, there are a lot of new players on this team. I mean, we keep Terrence, we keep Coleman, we keep Dane, Luke, Sincere. Am I missing anyone?
Nico Moretti, technically.
Nico Moretti. Yeah. All right, so we keep a couple. We got a lot of new players, and so we got to introduce them to our podcast. What our thoughts are about them going into the season, what we think that their role is in more of a funny standpoint rather than actually talking about it, what the minutes are, because I attempted to talk about how many minutes Justin Harmon was going to get on Twitter the other day. And not only did everyone else think I was wrong, Brad showed me that I was wrong. He ended up with putting up 20 minutes when I thought he was going to put up like 8 a game. So I know that was just one exhibition game, but Justin Harmon transfer. I think we have 2 years of eligibility with him. Maybe one. Anyone want to fact check? I mean, see, we don't have facts here.
These feel like things we're supposed to know.
He went to JUCO.
I'll check the scholarship court.
He did go to the Utah Valley.
Valley University. This is my fact about him. We're going to each say one fact about a player.
My fact is about him too at Utah. Let's hear yours.
Okay. Utah Valley University, 6 different names it's been called in its life.
Wow.
Just crazy insight here. It was first called Central Utah Vocational School.
Wow. Then what happened?
It became Utah Trade Technical Institute.
And then there's no way there would be more changes after that.
There was Utah Technical College at Provo, Utah Valley Community College, Utah Valley State College, and we landed on Utah Valley University only 15 years ago.
I remember when they made that change.
Yeah. Where were you?
Sam, I really hope your fun fact is a lot more fun.
I could, before I say mine, Maddie, I could definitely see, you know how like LeBron always lies about stuff? I could definitely see him being like, oh yeah, like I remember saying they should change the name of that school, and they did.
I gotta have the Illinois like basketball roster up in front of me. Yeah, we got a lot of new guys this year.
Just to name a few.
Nico Moretti, I could go all day. You know, happy Illinois basketball day to all those who are celebrating. I'll be honest. Josh asked us to be like, look, can we come up with a fact about each player, about each new player, that maybe the listeners don't know? Turns out I went to Google. Everything was already on Google. So, I mean, I specifically called out
things that you wouldn't hear from other Illini podcasts or beat writers.
Everything else that you need to know, you know what? You're right. I did need to know the six.
Sam, go on. I think it's important. Harmon, I'll have a fact about Quincy Guerrier.
Mm-hmm. All right. So last year, first off, there are like 7 college basketball teams in Utah. I think Maddie, maybe Johnny, we were actually watching last year when Justin Harmon's team beat BYU. I don't know if you guys remember that. BYU was ranked 10th. So anyways, I was like looking back at his game log. I wanted to see how he actually played it in the BYU game and against good teams, because I was hoping he won't be the next Mark Allstork. So my fun fact is Justin Harmon played 6 like pretty legit teams last year: BYU, Oregon, New Mexico, Colorado, Cincinnati, UAB. They were all pretty much like NIT level teams, and he averaged 19 points a game against good teams. I thought that was fun.
That's like legit competition. I like that fun fact. That's like inspiring.
Relevant.
And he closed out a game against the number one team in the country. So he's a
Kansas,
guy.
Yeah. Sam. Say, Kansas, if you guys didn't hear that, but Sam gave a very confused look.
He's like, what are you talking about? No.
Well, Bill Self said they're not there yet.
That counts as a quad one win. Okay. Last time I checked. Okay. So here's my fun fact is Quincy Guerrier wins the Always a Bridesmaid, Never a Bride Terrence Shannon Jr. Award for a player that we recruited multiple times and didn't get, and then eventually came to Illinois.
We recruited him out
of high school. Then he went to Syracuse. We recruited him from Syracuse. Then he went to Oregon. But you know what? When we came in second multiple times, he finally was like, you know what? I've run out of options. I guess I'll go to Illinois. So excited for that. It worked out well with Terrence. Hopefully it works out well when we get Kylan Boswell next year. But
I was going to ask who are the nominees early on for next year that we should keep our eye on, Johnny, for this award?
Yeah, I'm thinking Kylan Boswell. I'm thinking maybe Jeremy and Jeremiah Fears as a package deal.
Mm-hmm.
Could we get Adam Miller on his 4th transfer?
The Ace Wolf and Curbelo return.
Charlie Moore as well.
Can we get what's his name? Oh my God, from Chicago that he eventually ended up at.
I think Sam just said it. Charlie Moore.
Charlie Moore. Yeah, yeah.
Kansas, Miami.
Yeah. That would be a good one.
I would love to get a center. We still haven't gotten like a high school recruit who's a center since Kofi. I guess we just got one, but like
Oh yeah, our future baby. Like, we have to treat him like a child, Moraes Johnson. Yeah. We have to treat him, if not better than Io.
I thought you were talking about Jason Jackistis.
No, like, the five star, five star.
Yeah. Yeah, we finally got our guy. But we'll see James Brown. We'll see you in the portal later too.
Wait till after the FAU game. We always get a good center after
there the we FAU go. Game. We have a Florida Atlanta game to land a top recruit. Any other fun facts? Again, I was doing some Googling just now. I tried to find a good Keaton Kutcher fun fact, but guys, I'm just.
Oh, he's related
to the most obvious one.
But that's not. We need something unknown, right? We need something unknown here. Right, you Google it, and it's like, look, I see his Instagram here. Let's see if I go to it says according to his Instagram, he's committed to Illinois. Do you feel like that's something that might be a value to the listener?
What percent? Like, is he 110% committed?
No, there's no percentage here. Actually, he could back out. That's a good question. That's a really good question. Okay,
I was gonna have a fun fact about Jeremiah Williams, but then he transferred, or I guess.
Got caught in a gambling scandal
because he had a couple parlays. You know, who of us hasn't lost money on gambling? All right, that's a very
anything recently you'd like to tell us about Johnny?
Bets? I've driven over the state border a couple times to lose money on Illinois football. All right,
yes. Are we doing it on basketball, like a Big Ten, like regular season championship?
Yes.
Yes.
What are the odds at right now? What's Illinois? Illinois big.
I don't know. It's kind of a blind bet that you make because Purdue step back season, Michigan State built for the tournament. Izzo doesn't want to win in the regular season. Daddy Brad, best coach in the Big Ten.
The weirdest thing, and we're plus 1100.
Yeah,
plus 1100 to win
the Daddy Brad tweet was so weird,
strange, uncomfortable. Again, if you are new here, one thing you should know about us is we're extremely unbiased, and we have we're spread, you know, 14 ways across the entire Big Ten, and we're gonna look at things very partially, and certainly not thinking that we're unbiased whatsoever. If you can't tell by now.
Speaking of Maddie, what's your thoughts on Minnesota basketball this year? Name one player.
Oh gosh. Well, Fleck had that guy that came in, and then he looked at the basketball arena and he said, can I go two sports? And
I don't know if I can. I honestly don't know if I can name someone in Minnesota basketball. Johnny, can you?
They don't have Liam Robbins anymore, right? He goes to Vanderbilt.
Wait, what about what's his face from North Carolina?
What's his face?
Oh, Dawson Garcia.
Yeah.
He's on the future Quincy Garriott list.
Let's pull it up.
No, yeah, he's on it. I can't.
They don't have Gabe Kalscher anymore.
No, they don't.
What about the Jameson Battle? Is he still there?
No.
Doesn't look like it. No.
They seem really bad.
Yeah, they're
they do have Dawson Garcia. Yeah.
Things you love to see. That.
Coach Ben has.
I knew their coach's first name was Ben. That I knew.
Ben Johnson.
Ben Johnson. I did know that.
It ranges from like plus 10,000 to plus 25,000 odds for them to win.
So like 1 in 100 to 1 in 250.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Their game against McAllister College on Thursday.
Not to derail this topic, but I know we're going crazy about Minnesota right now, but it's been a minute into this podcast and we still have not talked about KenPom.
So I was waiting.
Bingo.
Our gospel, our truth, and talk about that Illinois is ranked 19th. I want to give a shout out to my boy Ken last year. I think he had us preseason like 33rd and we ended up finishing 35th. So guy's good at his job.
He's gonna be way off.
I like us starting 19th and moving our way up as he starts to track our defensive efficiency once he sees the minutes allocation. And I feel like we're gonna be in the country because like I feel like I've seen a lot of tweets.
Wait, you cut out Johnny. We're gonna be what in the country? Did you say luckiest in the country? You cut out right before
I said most experienced teams in the country.
Oh,
I feel like I've seen a lot of tweets recently that everyone's like 21, 22, 23, 24. So I like having men playing 18 to 20 year old guys.
Isn't there that March Madness thing where like if you're top 20 going into the season, like that checks off one of the boxes of like every champion of the last 25 years or whatever. So we have that first check. Now, what do we need? What's the next check that we need to check off our list?
Yeah, you need to be like balanced, good at both offense and defense.
Good at offense and defense, yeah.
You need to have a future NBA player. Okay, we've got Coleman Hawkins.
First of all, 70% free throws. Coleman's coming back next year, Johnny.
That's true. His fifth year.
The NIL is going to be too good to pass up.
Yeah.
It is free throw percentage, which that part we don't have down.
Didn't look good at the Kansas game.
No. Which,
you know who else didn't look good? The number one team in the country.
Good point. There. Yeah.
That's because of the best section in the country. Defense. The Orange Crush is going wild. Okay.
Yeah.
Can I just put out my yearly call to Orange Crush right now? I just need to do this. I'm going to get on my soapbox and I'm going to whisper to everyone that's listening a secret.
But can you talk into the mic?
When you chant defense, I think they already know to play defense. But instead, if you just yell and shout and scream instead, that might be more effective than yelling defense. Okay?
Where it's pick your favorite vowel to say. We usually say, oh.
I mean, usually
get in fights in college with kids who would just have their hands crossed.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Not saying anything.
Right
now? Miles Bridges is going for 40 on us, and you're just quiet.
Is it a good or bad thing if you find yourself in a situation where your arm is crossed with another arm, and then on like your like chest, stomach area?
Mm-hmm. Get loud. Look, Johnny said pick your favorite vowel. Usually in our days in college when we'd be leaving, it would be why, as we'd be leaving the stadium center, would be the question we'd be asking. But look, this is not an NBA game. Stop yelling defense. They know, right? Just fucking get loud and make noise and yell nonsense at the other players. Okay, so I will say that every year from here on out. So if anyone from Orange Crush that has any sort of stake in whatever chants you get to do, just and also throw in a chair chant every now and then. That one I like.
Yeah, the chair always
you do slap the chair.
Or like when they tell us to get loud because there's nuggets on the line, like just do that throughout, like pretend there's nuggets on the line all the time.
No one redeems the nuggets. Like you're just
they always make it available the next day and we drive home.
Yeah, it's tough.
Yeah, that's true.
Chicago dwellers.
I went to a Chicago McDonald's and I was like, you owe me free nuggets because Illinois. There were two free throws in a row missed last night, and they called the cops.
They have no idea. Did you guys ever get the free Big Mac from the Bulls games when they would score 100 and then on the way home you get that free Big Mac? That was an amazing core memory. Okay. Anyways, meanwhile, what were we talking about? To get back on the point.
Speaking of the Kansas game, like how much stock do you guys actually put into it? I know this is going to be like an actual sports conversation here, but I keep trying to reconcile like how seriously I take the result of that game.
I mean, both teams didn't exactly play the tightest rotation. Again, I don't know what Kansas rotation is going to look like. I would imagine they went fairly deeper into their bench than they typically would. Probably same for Illinois. Like, it's impossible.
We played Terrence 35 minutes. Like our best player was in the whole game. And I think, McClure, I struggle with his last name. McCullough. Thank you, McCullough. He played like 35 minutes as well. So like the best players were playing. Coleman did fall out and stayed in. Thank you, Brad and Mr. Selford, getting that organized.
Counterpoint though, it's preseason for the refs too, so probably
true. So none of
that joke I actually had as like -1,000 that it was going to be made about the Kansas game. So cash.
They actually
keep going with your analysis, Josh.
Oh, don't mask look great, or do mask. What are we going with? Wear your mask.
Yeah, you know? The point that Josh made is true. Like, they played a lot of their guys. It was nice to see a semblance of a rotation. And it makes you question, too, like, if DGL isn't getting minutes in an exhibition game, is he going to be a part of the rotation? I feel like I saw some tweets about that, and some people are like, oh, he's going to transfer or whatever. Yeah, but
that was also my other takeaway. DGL and Amani both were, like, buried, and I kind of expected it, because if you look at, like, the transfers that we brought in, like, they're all experienced people that have 1 or 2 years of eligibility, in which what are, like, are we trying to keep players on our team, or are we happy with the exodus from the freshman each year? Here goes more on his Maddie on the soapbox.
Like, I get that college basketball has changed and guys will transfer out every year, but, like, if we're really gonna have the transfer talk during the exhibition game, then, like, what are we doing? Can we at least, like, let the regular season play out at all and let the rotations play out at all? And yes, you're right. He might not play a little bit, might not play at all, and he might leave. But, like, we will do this because this is what we do as sports fans. But, like, can we let, like, any of it play out first?
I want to, but I get nervous. Because then you have to, like, care about recruiting all throughout the summer again.
You always have to care about recruiting. It's college sports. That is,
I know, but I'd rather
just
care about, like, having Amani look great his freshman year and then have him look great his sophomore year, and then we worry about his replacement after that.
Look, these kids are going to make the decisions, again, that they want to make. It's not always rational. Did Jaden Epps play a shit ton of minutes last year?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Did he leave? Yes. Do sometimes guys that don't get minutes stay? Like, there is no rationality with this stuff, and the people that are unfortunately sometimes in their ears, again, maybe sometimes do, sometimes don't have their best interest in mind. Like, let's let it play out, and then let's judge them based off of the decisions that are made afterward.
Yeah, Brad's selling point is if you sit on the bench your freshman year at Illinois, you could potentially be a lottery pick the next year. The point he leaves out is that Brandon Pajimski transferred. And that's part of the reason that contributed to him being a lottery pick. But
I was, you know, so confused where you're coming.
You're like, what is he saying?
I was like, who? Yeah.
I don't know. Kofi? Yeah. Definitely not.
What? Yeah. That's what do you all think about the, like, Illinois fans that are on Twitter that are, like, claiming Pajimski as one of our own? And they're like, look at Pajimski getting, like, coached up by Steph. And it's like, this is so cool. I'm like, good for Brandon. Like, awesome, that's very cool, but, like, I don't, like, this is not, you barely played on my team, man. I wouldn't say, like, we can claim you.
I hate both sides of the coin. I hate the people that shove down what like Brandon Pajimski stuff in my face. I don't care about him. Like, I hope he does well. Like, he seemed like a nice person, represented the university well, but, like, I don't need to see his stuff on my Twitter feed. I also don't need to hear about people claiming that he's in a former Illini. No, who cares?
Yeah, don't care. Same thing on the other end. Also, not going to just, like, hate on Sky Clark. Like, I'm not like, oh, dude, F you. I hope you suck. It's just like, I'm really just indifferent about you and don't care and just care about my team. Like,
for sure.
I'm not, like, rooting for him to, like, be in the NBA draft because it's like, I don't know, it doesn't look amazing for Illinois that, like, all these transfers could potentially do great elsewhere. But I'm not, like, in the Twitter comments being like, Sky, go kill yourself.
Yeah, that's pretty intense. And anyone who does that needs a real reality check. I mean, I think Robert says it best. It's like, I am an Illinois fan. I root for the people that wear the jerseys in the orange and blue. Like, it's that simple. It's like, it's very kind of, for me, like, dodo brain, like, simple-minded. If you wear the orange and blue jersey, I root you on. If you're not wearing the orange and blue jersey, I don't root you on. You're on a different team, and it's that simple. And then it extends to if you do play in the next level. But I don't think Brandon qualifies as Sam's nodding his head. I don't think that qualifies.
When Tommy DeVito this past weekend was labeled as a former Illinois quarterback, they'd mentioned a couple, like, his year at Syracuse, but, like, it was the Illinois fans rooting for him, and I'll love him forever because he graduated Illinois and also led us to an 8-4 season. But, like, I'm gonna always root on Tommy and get so excited for him. I don't think Syracuse fans are doing the same thing. They just like his name, and they're actually they're playing for probably Syracuse fans NFL team, but it's the same type of
Tommy
thing.
Tommy wore the orange and blue for 5 years, so.
Correct. You're right. Never mind.
They called him Tommy DeVito of Syracuse when he played bad, and Tommy DeVito of Syracuse of Illinois when he rushed in for the touchdown. We made sure to flip the narrative when it was helpful for us.
Yeah, big fan of Chase Brown out of Western Michigan too. Like, you know.
that's good. That's a good one, Johnny. We should talk about football later on. Well, maybe towards the end we'll talk about football if we need to. Does anyone else have anything to say about any of the new players that we don't know anything about because they haven't played a game?
It was hilarious at the start of the game when I think it was a play-by-play guy. Thought
it was Andy Katz.
Oh, was it Andy Katz?
Yeah,
He thought Domask was Luke Goody, and I was like, wow, it's that early in the season, and you're like, that's the one white guy in Illinois. And it's like, oh, no, it's a different guy. So that was, that was funny. It's like, did Luke Goody change his number to number three? Like, nope.
Andy Katz always sounds like he's interviewing someone, even if he's doing commentary. It always sounds like he's in the midst of an interview or setting up an interview. He just has that, like, interviewee voice that I almost, and again, who am I to shit on someone who does this type of medium, but like, don't you guys feel like it sounds like he's always like interviewing someone?
He's always interviewing or doing a power rankings of some sort, or like filling out the bracket with Obama. Like, he's always is it this or is it this?
Right. Like, he always sounds like that. I'm like, Andy, dude, it's like, we're 4 minutes in an exhibition game. Like,
he'll still talk about how, like, in 2019, he was like, you know, I saw something in that Illinois team when they beat Michigan State. Like, he was, like, early on the Illini bandwagon, which I'll give him credit for. But he's also just, like, he's Andy Katz. Like, he's just this
terrible
big
coin flipper. Terrible coin flipper. When he gave Mizzou the home game there, right?
Bragging rights.
That was just I was thinking about this. I really, and this, again, this sounds very obvious, I want to fucking win bragging rights this year. Again, like, you're a top 25 team. Like, you should be taking it to the limit, like, in every non-conference game. Like, no bullshit this year with bragging rights, okay? No bullshit this year. I know we're 2 months away from bragging rights. Josh already has a bad feeling about bragging. Like, no nonsense this year.
I have a bad feeling about bragging rights this year. I have a bad feeling about bragging rights for the following every year that Dennis Gates is head coach of Missouri, because he recruits very, very well. Luckily, the last guy who recruited well there didn't do well. So that's the only thing that I can take away. But Dennis Gates is a good coach.
There's a couple of facts about bragging rights. Number one, Sam is always on a plane during bragging rights. That's always a fact. Number two, Brad Underwood has in his contract a bonus for if he beats Mizzou in bragging rights, and seemingly just does not care. And
I don't know about the care.
He does care. He does care. It's just like, for whatever reason, we always like don't play our best, except for like 2 years ago when we destroyed them. And like, it's going to be six guys who are disinterested, and then one dude who like really wants to play hard, a la Alan Griffin a few years ago when he committed a technical. That was awesome. But
when he stepped on the face, are you talking
about? No, that was the Purdue game.
That was a different game.
But he committed a different technical foul, and that was like an Illini Twitter game where everyone's like, "Okay, we like Allen. He actually gives a shit."
I'm just thinking about Stefanovic or whatever his name was from Purdue. Sasha? How we call him Stefanovic.
Yeah.
What's Sasha up to these days?
Who knows? But yeah, bragging rights last year. Oh, that Kobe Brown game. That was bad. That was really bad.
That really sets the tone for the holidays. You know, when you go, everyone's going home to their families. Everyone around you is in a great mood. We're drinking, we're opening presents. It's a lovely time. You're with your family, and you're always the sour one in the corner. And everyone's like, "Dude, what's wrong?" And you're like, "I got fucking blown out in bragging rights. What do you mean? How could I be happy in a time like this?" Right? Your happiness for Christmas depends on how these 18 to 22 year olds put a ball through the hoop, which honestly is a general overall saying for our happiness, right? Is if 18 to 22 year olds do good in football and basketball, that's how our happiness is measured.
Wouldn't want it any other way.
Wouldn't want it any other way.
Sasha Stefanovic is the director of player personnel at Purdue.
That's what I thought. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
All right. Tyler Underwood versus Sasha Stefanovic. Who's going to direct personnel and recruiting better? I believe in our guy, although now he's been elevated.
Yeah, he got promoted. Sam, what makes you most nervous about this season?
Josh, great question. I think things. One, Terrence Shannon had some great games against some very good teams, and we played well. He played very well against Kansas when he doesn't have great games, which it's kind of easy to key in on him when he's like, I would say kind of far and away your best scorer right now. I think that like leaves you a little vulnerable. Is that a hot take?
No, I was just gonna say, if Johnny wanted to jump in there and talk about who our best scorer was, or like if there's anyone near our best scorer, that usually is like a ram for Johnny, but continue. You were saying some good stuff.
So yeah, it'll be interesting to see how everyone else does. I don't know if there are any like PTP offensive players. And then the other thing is I don't have really a great sense of how good or not good we'll be defensively. Like Justin Harmon, hard to know how good he'll be in the Big Ten. Damask, I feel like he'll be a stud.
Did you guys see the did you see the Justin Harmon, Andres Feliz comparison?
Oh my god.
No, I can't get me that excited.
No. I saw it. I was like, don't, like, you have to earn that. You can't just be given that, you know?
He does have to earn it, but I think it's a valid comparison. And I think that, I don't know, just in watching him, he looked like he belonged. He did not look like he was afraid of playing the number one team in the country. So I'm hoping that's the case. I think to me, the big elephant in the room that's been the most talked about thing on Twitter or throughout basketball analysts is like, does Illinois have a point guard on this team? And is that important? And I think the answer to the, is it important? Yes, it's important. Will we be able to skate by? I don't know. Because I think we have a lot of playmakers, but we don't have a true point guard. I think Coleman is above average playmaker for his position. Like, you don't see as many guys at his height being able to pass the ball well, to be able to dribble the ball well. Same thing, like, Terrence isn't your primary ball handler point guard, but he's like a solid playmaker for like what you would expect for a two or a three. The big question mark is like, is Ty Rogers really a point guard? And what we have to decipher is like, is Brad Underwood giving his Brad Underwood speak, or is Ty Rogers actually like a point guard? Because we've seen him be like, this player's elite at all of this stuff, and then it doesn't pan out, or sometimes it does pan out, and maybe Ty Rogers like is the top 50 kid who also happens to be a point guard.
I don't know if this is a fear or a concern, and Johnny, I agree with all that. That's absolutely fair. Is 3-point shooting, again, we saw it before, during, and after when Luke was hurt last year. Who's going to shoot the three? When was the last time we genuinely shot like lights out from three in a season?
I think we were pretty good 2 years ago because we had Plummer. I think Grandison was also a very good 3-point shooter. I mean, we were really good a few years ago too when you had Io and Kofi, so you just had space. So like, yeah, DeMonte is going to be a 55% 3-point shooter because no one's going to guard him. Like,
we documented that well.
Remember those 7 Aaron Jordan games?
Yeah,
I do. Those non-con. If my spirit animal is non-conference Aaron Jordan, like that's, I want to be
Aaron Jordan.
I don't want to be reincarnated as that. Yeah, no, we did shoot a couple of years ago good, especially from three, good, especially when folks collapsed in on Kofi, and then that would just leave guys open from three. But one thing that I am worried about that you guys haven't mentioned yet probably is the ability to shoot the three. Is like, aside from Luke, who is shooting the three?
I mean, hopefully it's Marcus.
We haven't seen it yet.
Terrence and Coleman, hopefully they shot well in the Kansas game, and it's a question of Terrence shot well in the UCLA game. So is that like an anecdotal game, or is that like true
when he was seven for eight from three and resurrected us down double digits there?
Do you guys,
it was like the first half of that Kansas game, okay, 7 combined threes from Terrence and Coleman, maybe they're more legit. I know Coleman, it was a lot of talk about like improve your shot selection, and he sometimes did take a few too many NBA threes last year, I'll admit. But Sam, what were you gonna say?
I was gonna say, when Coleman shoots a three, do you guys, I felt like this last year, like you have no idea where that ball, like that ball may not go anywhere near the rim.
I feel that way.
Like,
I know Johnny
does. He just like, it doesn't even look like he's shooting, but he
that was the whole,
he
that was the whole concept of the trust rankings.
Oh, we're not bringing that back. Are we bringing that back? Are we bringing that back? Can we take a group of vote on
I
that?
Think
I vote no.
Retired. Yeah.
I think we maybe retire those. They were fun for like a little bit with last year.
And then
year.
People got really upset after I made a bad take about Coleman.
Well, you know what? That means you're doing something right on the internet, though. People are getting upset.
any content's good content.
I know. I was about to text you guys when Coleman got like hit in the mouth and was bleeding in the first half of the Kansas game. I was going to be like, he hit a few threes, but he looked a little pouty after he got hit in the face and was bleeding. So like, are we
really want it?
Great player.
Like, he really trying to start
body language in question here.
Does he really love basketball?
Yeah, exactly. But it is funny, like, how much the fan base has really, like, gotten behind him as he just, like, became our spirit animal on Twitter and was kind of like, oh, we love Brad. Like, Terrence and Coleman just decided, hey, you know what we're going to do is back up Brad when everyone hates on him. So hopefully that translates into, like, improvement this year. I know that's a strong correlation between Twitter and improvement, but.
Well, how much talk about that? Go ahead, Josh.
Yeah, I was gonna say, how much do you buy into the two players that left the team? I guess there's three. Jaden, I'm not including in this too. So Sky and Matt. I know we said we weren't gonna talk about it that much, but how much do you buy that this year's team is just so much more connected? As that's been the storyline that's been like trying to be pushed to us, and maybe even talked about by Hunter in his post game press conference. Like how much weight do you put that in? Put into that. More
I mean, it's so much, again, conjecture. It's so early. Like, we got to let something play out. Like, is it likely that there were some cultural issue, you know, team culture issues last year that materialized that probably just don't exist this year because some of the guys that were on the team maybe contributed to that? Maybe. But let's, again, there's so much conjecture we made early on before a single actual regular season game has been played yet. So, like,
I totally maybe agree. Like, this team has faced no adversity.
Right.
So, like, it's
nothing's
really
happened.
Hard to say whether
nothing's happened.
Like, anyone's true colors are coming out. But what I will say is there were rumblings last year in the summer that, like, Brad and Matt Meyer weren't getting along. Like, he was supposed to go to media day and then didn't. So maybe those were red flags once again. Sky Clark had been to multiple different high schools and committed to Kentucky. So, like, there were some red flags, but, like, you could kind of say the same thing about DGL.
Four high schools in 4 years.
Yeah, exactly.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, my
multiple AAU teams dropped
so
in the
there's no difference. It could mean nothing. It could mean nothing. And so, I don't buy into it. I just, like, that's right now the storyline that is on Twitter. So I wanted to see how much you guys made it up. Someone said, like, we haven't faced adversity yet. Three games, third game of the season. Home to number 5 Marquette. That's probably going to be the first time where this team, we are part of the team.
We are on
part
the team.
Of the time.
We're traveling this year to a couple couple of the games. We're traveling to the games.
Yeah.
Sadly, no.
Yeah,
Vegas,
I think that's going to be a tough test. We all have PTSD from that Marquette game a couple of years ago. The infamous, like, that was kind of the Curbelo, like, downfall.
That was like the same week. Was that the same week as like the Cincinnati game? And like, was that just
Cincinnati
all
Cincinnati game after?
Right at the
it
same
was right
time.
It Curbelo Kansas got State, hit. Mark Smith.
Yeah, Curbelo
yeah,
got
that was
hit.
A
and then
brutal week.
Yeah.
Brutal week.
But yeah, the one thing I don't love is how much Shaka presses, and just with a team that doesn't have
no
a point guard. And it's third game of the season, like trying
to
figure it out.
You got to figure that shit out, though. Like,
yeah, we'll learn right away how much we trust this team.
that reminds me too how pissed off Coleman gets when guys are not in the right spots. Like, that happened to us in Vegas. One of the games was like a full court press game, and he's just like pointing at everyone, being like, "Guys, you need to be here, and you need to be here." And he was like so pissed. Like, I feel like a lot of people were like subtweeting Jaden Epps that he didn't know where he was supposed to be, but like that's a Coleman phase for sure, is just like pointing to different random spots on the court, being like, "Guys, where are you?" So hopefully these guys know where they are, but the point that you made about point guard is like
we'll know right away. True. It's
Coleman,
it's a great first test.
I feel like Coleman yelling at guys is like a cover your own ass thing after like 3 years of being screamed at by Brad. Like, when they go to the bench and everyone yells at him, Coleman's like, "Yeah, like I was trying to tell them."
He's like, "I'm tired of this shit."
It is funny though, because he is like the first Brad Underwood recruit to be a 4-year player. Like, it's pretty crazy that it took that long. Obviously, like, Trent and DeMonte, kind of, but like they did not commit to Brad when he was the head coach at Illinois. And obviously some of the previous classes, none of those guys made it to being seniors, but like in some ways he is a personification of Brad, of like, this is an intense dude who's going to yell and like, who's going to be pissed off at certain points, but also is just like a tough nosed dude who like no one questions his defensive effort.
I'd love to play for Brad. We talk about this. We make this joke every year of having eligibility left. I'd love to play for Brad. Why is that? Because I like Illinois. Well, again, I think you guys know my opinion on some of the, not like I love NIL, but I think you guys know some of my opinion on how college basketball has changed. I think like it's just going to be a more rare and rare occurrence where you see guys stick around on one team for 4 years now, especially a guy like Coleman that can go make, could have probably gone made money in the NBA. But like, it's kind of crazy to say that a guy like Coleman is almost a dying breed. I use that in quotes because the craziness of a guy staying for 4 years in college, that's a dying breed now. Like, that is rare. And that's just, I mean, you're not going to see that as much now.
Yeah. I mean, hopefully NIL encourages guys to stay because they can actually get paid at the university instead of going pro. But the transfer portal also has its own problems. But
it always helps us.
I saw you light up there for a second. I wasn't sure if you had a hot take about how you prefer players to not make any money.
Oh, yeah. No, that was my hot take. No, I was just scratching my microphone. That was my tell. I feel like Coleman's like, you want like really good guys in college basketball, but like the one and dones or like two and dones are like too good. Coleman's like kind of in that sweet spot where it's like, I don't know if it makes sense for him to transfer. He's like maybe not going to go to the NBA yet. And it's like, it's nice to have a 4 year guy you can build around.
You know who fits five, that mold?
He will be a 5 year guy.
You know who fits that mold? Hunter Dickinson. As much as you don't want to admit it, right? Is like perfect where you stick around, you're really good, but you're not good enough to leave.
You're flawed. Like,
right.
Ideally, maybe Kofi would have thought about that. Played Japan, but hey, we got 3 years out of him. So
we got 3 years out of Kofi. I think one conversation that we always have in some of these early preseason, early season podcasts is like the whole, all right, not even necessarily prediction, but like, all right, expectations for the team, right? And I feel like every year my baseline expectation, as it should be as an Illinois basketball fan, is Sweet 16. I feel like that is my natural over-under as an Illinois basketball fan that has high expectations, whether that's fair or not. The over-under to me is always set on Sweet 16. And the under has hit for a very long time in a row. So the over-under is set at the Sweet 16. Whether or not that's a fair over-under, that's a separate question. But that's where my over-under is set every single year.
By over-under, you're talking about the barometer of your happiness, right?
The barometer of my happiness.
Like,
wow.
Like where you are happy versus where you are sad.
Yeah, yeah. What Maddie's saying is, how do you define success for this team? And his take is Sweet 16.
It's Sweet 16. I mean, look, will I be still not happy if we lose in the Elite Eight? Yes, I will be very not happy if we lose. Will I be maybe satisfied and say, yes, this team met and exceeded expectations? Yes, I will say that this team met and exceeded expectations. I don't know what this team's true expectations should be because I haven't seen them play a regular season game, and I don't know basketball that well, right? But every year I will say Sweet 16 or bust, like Brad said in that one video, you know, a bunch of years ago, because that's the expectation, because it's Illinois basketball. And it's fair to say that if you're ranked top 25 going into the year, you should be expected to finish in a, you should be expected to get out of the first weekend of the tournament, something Brad has been unable to do and is his big flaw as a coach, I think, is his ability to win the tournament.
I am curious. I feel like we kind of had this debate last year, and I think Robert had an opinion. I might have had a different opinion. Do you guys think like Brad not winning in the tournament is like a thing, like he can't win in the tournament, or like there's like some ongoing phenomenon, or is it just like Arkansas's better team, Houston was a better team
before Johnny
played
speaks
bad versus Loyola? I know
Johnny's gonna bring in like how Loyola was overranked and
Ken Pom. We're gonna go Ken Pom. Go Ken Pom on our asses.
I it's definitely a thing of Brad, but I don't think it
it's like a thing.
I don't think it should be something that, what's the best way to say this? I don't think it determines if he should be on the hot seat or not.
Do you think, say we have a bad tournament loss this year, will you like start to get nervous about if we're like unable to win in the tournament?
Wow.
What's a bad tournament?
It's hard to say without,
like, are you saying like we get upset?
Yeah, like a game we should
Purdue
win.
Purdue got upset last year by a 16 seed. Like, upsets happen. I think it is a draw of luck, and we've said this a billion times, in which you have to get lucky with your seeding. You have to perform on the day that you're trying to that you need to advance, and those combinations of things, he hasn't been able to get it done. If he gets upset, then yeah, it might get like from like a 30 degrees to 40 degrees, but it's not a hot seat type of thing.
I think to answer your question, like, it's a still too small of a sample size to say Brad can't win the tournament. I think we've only been in the tournament three times since Brad's been a head coach here. And you won two games that you should have absolutely won as a 1 versus 16, 4 versus 13. You did have disappointing games in each of the last three tournaments. I would say, like, I don't think anyone was like, oh, that Arkansas game, Brad just got out coached. Like, it's an 8-9 game, absolute toss up. And like, that was a really talented Arkansas team. Yes, I've gone on my high horse many a time about how Loyola should not have been an 8 seed. They were really like a top 10 KenPom team going into that game. And like, by every measure, they were top 25 in the AP poll. They just should not have been an 8 seed, but like, the committee wanted that matchup. Houston, same thing. Like, they had every advanced metric saying like, this is a top 5 team, and somehow they're a 5 seed. Like, there was a bit of unfortunate seeding, and also just like randomness of playing a single elimination tournament. So I don't think that's an issue. But what I will say is, like, the results are that we haven't won in the tournament, and like, that's going to stick with our program until we go further than the round of 32. But I don't think it's like, oh, we're flawed when it comes to playing other teams outside of the Big Ten. Cause it's like, we've won some decent non-conference games, last year being an example.
Would you say though, that it's fair that it's almost a different, I don't know if skill set is the right word, but it's one thing when you're playing a 20 game Big Ten season grind where you're watching them play other Big Ten opponents every night, where you're watching a film where you know them, you play them once or twice a year, every year, you know how to scout these guys, you know how to coach these guys, versus you're playing in these, you know, you talk about the tournament being like three mini tournaments where you play one game and then you have a 48 hour turnaround and you play another team and you only have a day and a half to scout them. Is that a different type of quote coaching or of getting your team ready? Versus you have weeks, months to prepare for Purdue. We know what Purdue looks like. We don't know what our round of 32 matchup is going to look like until we're 40 hours away from it. Is that a different type of coaching right there? Could you say that Brad is not good at getting his play? Again, this is just conjecture. I'm not saying that he is, but could you say that he's not good at that type of quick turnaround or something like that, but he's good at getting his guys up for a 20-game Big Ten grind?
Yeah, I initially said that about the Big Ten tournament. He was never going to win one. And then I think that year was the year that was our first year of recording, and we won the Big Ten tournament that year. Because he
those
just
are
doesn't
Big
know.
Ten teams.
But those are Big Ten teams. I also, I think it is a different type of coaching, but I think every team has to deal with it. So like, every team's going to recruit for their conference to win their conference, because that's when you win in your conference, you're going to get to the tournament. And so everyone's dealing with the same different type of challenges. Maybe those other conferences have more. I mean, like, the Big Ten hasn't won in 20 years.
Right. And is it more? Yeah. And you could extrapolate and externalize it even more. Is it a Brad thing? Is it a Big Ten thing? Our conference hasn't won it in decades.
Yeah, exactly. Right? Like, you put yourself in the shoes of a Purdue fan, though, and you'd be like, I'm very happy to have Matt Painter, despite the fact that in his last three tournaments, he lost to a 16 seed. He lost to a 15 seed, St. Peter's, in this Elite Eight, or no, Sweet 16. Sweet 16. And then he lost to a 13 seed North Texas in 2021. So, like,
and I'd be remiss not to remind everyone, Fran McCaffrey never made a Sweet 16.
Exactly. That's the thing.
Just never gets old. Never gets old.
Brad are two different things where, like, Fran's sample size is almost large enough where we can say, like, okay, this dude just doesn't make the Sweet 16. And it's like, it's still difficult when you're Iowa basketball. Like, that's kind of your cap. So like, yeah. If I'm an Iowa fan, I'm not like, we need to fire Fred McCaffrey. It's like, he's getting the most out of these unathletic dudes and then finding a seventh Murray twin. Like, hopefully that's about to go downhill. But one thing that I will say about like our success is like, say we don't do well in the tournament this year, maybe don't do well in the tournament next year, then that does start to become a thing. And every year after like the next, the Loyola loss looms even larger, which is really sad and depressing to think about. But I still think about that game every day and like
how we had two
Johnny,
that's not healthy.
It's not healthy, but it's like we had two All-Americans. And we couldn't beat Loyola. And like, that was our opportunity. Like the tournament was an indie. Like you had freaking Ayo Dosunmu, who was the best point guard in the nation. And you had a second team All-American in Kofi. And you lost to a Missouri Valley Conference team. Like, yes, that should have been a Sweet 16 game or an Elite Eight game. But like, damn, I don't know. It sucks.
Do you really think about that every day?
Yes, especially because like, stuff about like, oh, I saw Michigan basketball, like they did one of those graphs where it was like, did you win the Big Ten with the most wins in it, and it's like a picture of every team from every year, and it's like yes, and then there's Michigan basketball alone, and like my initial response is like, go shit talk Michigan basketball fans, and then their response is, oh yeah, you lost to Loyola in the tournament, your team wasn't good, you're just a complainer. And it's like, that kind of digs deep when they made the Elite Eight that year and we lost. And
that was a tough.
It just tough.
Let's not bring up the emotions associated with that weekend. I still remember it all too vividly. So again, the Sweet 16 barometer, again, blind test. Even if I didn't know anything about this team, which again, we don't know much, I still think should always be, this is Illinois basketball. We get to say that, guys. We don't get to say that with Illinois football. Where we get to say, yes, we're Iowa football, where it's like our baseline, we're going to win 7 games every year. The barometer should be Sweet 16 every year, and we have not met that barometer in a long time, and that should continue to be the barometer of the fans. That should be your expectation as an Illinois basketball fan.
Yeah, I mean, I struggle a little bit with, like, I definitely agree. If we make the Sweet 16, regardless of whatever happens this year, it's a success. Like, even, let's say, if we end up being a top 5 team all year and then you're like a 2 seed who loses in the Sweet 16, I'll still be like, hey, you know what? We finally crossed that one. We'll figure out from there. But like when you're at top 20, you're ranked 25th, there's just such a big margin of error for like who this team is. We really like don't know. It's like they could be a good team, but right now you're projected to lose in the round of 32 if the rankings were to hold. So
which they're not.
And like there's a lot of question marks, so I it's hard to say. It feels similar to last year's team.
I completely agree there. It's very similar to last year's team. The one thing that like is helping is the continuity of your top two players being the same, mm-hmm. and they know how to play together. We haven't even mentioned, and like they didn't start, but like Dane, Luke, Sincere, like all that consistency coming over, like they're experienced players now, both sophomores, juniors, and like that will help so much because I think the depth is there for this team. It's just that like the top level talent. The other thing is that the Big Ten, like it's Michigan State, Purdue, us, and then it's like a lot of teams right near us, but like we're definitely the top of that next level, and like so it's still there where we could have like we could have a first round bye in the Big Ten, which is pretty much like a guaranteed like top 5 seed in the tournament, right? Like that. Like if you have a first round bye, I mean, we do have to get past 10, at least win Tennessee, FAU, or
depends on how good the Big Ten is this year.
But I'm just saying, like, that's pretty much a guarantee. Like, hey, if you're a top 14 in the Big Ten, you're a top 5 seed in the tournament.
I hope so.
But I think
so. You're basically what you're doing is you're on here on Halloween. You're slotting us in as a
as a
5 seed.
1-5.
Okay, got it. That was easy.
Yeah, because you know why we're ranked 25th right now.
Well, no, because you're still forecasting out that we at least continue.
Oh, wait, the math didn't math there.
No, yeah, dude, no. There's not 5. There's not 5 regions there. Hey, it's preseason for the podcasters too. you gotta, again, this
wait,
is
yeah,
what,
Sam, what do you, how would you define success? Like, what are your expectations?
Oh God, I feel like, oh, like I can never fully be like, what an amazing season until I see the tournament results, because I'm scarred from Loyola. I kind of feel like I don't like it, but I kind of think Sweet 16, since we haven't made the Sweet 16, is sort of the bar. And it's like, if we don't make the Sweet 16, unless we are just like bad in general, there's kind of like the, I don't know if it's like monkey in your back sort of thing, but it's like, we keep getting all excited for these seasons and we play well. And then like, unless you're Tom Fornelli, who values the Big Ten more than the NCAA tournament, mm-hmm. nothing really tangible comes from it.
So you're telling me that he celebrated when we won the Big Ten tournament as if we, how we would celebrate if we won the actual tournament.
That's, yeah, for someone we love so much.
We gotta get Tom back on the show this year, and talk to him about this, because I just still, that boggles my mind.
Well, yeah, I don't know. As I'm thinking about this a little more though, like, I'd be fairly satisfied if you make the tournament again, and now you are just like four straight tournament appearances. Like, I know this is a little bit of loser talk, but like, we were in a dark place for a long time, including our 4 or 5 years in college when we did not make the tournament. Like, this was a long day, basically like almost 10 years where Illinois didn't make the tournament. So like, I don't know how, obviously I would be very, very upset, borderline depressed, if and when Illinois loses in the tournament. But like, if you say to yourself, like, hey, year in, year out, Illinois is going to make the tournament, keep that streak alive, keep having bites of the apple, like, I don't know how disappointed I could be, or at least to me, at least it's like, you can't quite put Brad on the hot seat.
If we go into the tournament like ranked 22nd or 23rd, and like we have a fine first round win and lose in the second round, like, I don't know if I'm gonna, like, that's kind
yeah,
of
exactly.
Water finding its
if
level.
If you're a 7 seed and you like battle the 2 seed hard in the like,
it is what it, yeah. Yeah.
It's so easy to sit here now and say that, but that the phenomenon of being a fan though is that you're always gonna want a little bit more. That at a certain point, if you keep making the tournament year in and year out, that would have, yes. If we were in college, when we were in college saying, ooh, we just want to make the tournament year in, year out. And then you start to make the tournament year in, year out. And you say, oh, but if only we won one or two games in the tournament year in, year out. It's the Iowa football phenomenon.
It's 100% true. Where if we went 7-5 every year, right. We'd be annoyed.
But I would love 7-5 every year. But guess what? If we went 7-5 every year for the next decade, there'd be at a certain point, we'd be, you know what? We should probably just try to win 9 or 10 games and just win the West or win the Rose Bowl or get to a Rose Bowl, right? Eventually, your palate will be like satiated from that and you'll have to have a little bit more. That's just being a fan. That, to me, that's just being a fan. So, yes, if we are a 7 seed and we lose to a 2 seed because we fought hard, fine. I can rest my hat on that. But at a certain point, you have to take that next step. Just as a fan, that maybe is going to get tired of seeing your team lose in the same game or two every year.
Yeah.
So who's ready for Illinois basketball?
Yeah.
So who's
exactly.
ready for Illinois
we're
basketball?
We're analyzing our early round tournament exit. You know, so we're going through.
We're already bargaining about it. We're
in midseason form. We're in end of season form. But it'll be interesting. I mean, like, the non-con's scary. Like, playing Marquette right away, playing FAU, playing Tennessee. Like, hopefully, we'll learn about this team pretty early, and it won't be the last year's team of like, oh, they tricked us with how well they played against good teams and then struggled a bit in the Big Ten and ultimately the tournament. But it feels good to be back. It feels good to be back after like a up and down football season to like, let's get hurt again.
Good postseason podcast, guys. This was our official postseason wrap up of last year, right? This was our post.
I think we put a nice bow on it. You know,
we put a nice bow. Who's ready for this season? Anything else, guys? Otherwise, we'll actually let the game start pulling. We'll actually have some real games starting next week to talk about. And then we can actually make conjecture, and then we can all start blabbering about actual things.
One thing I want you guys to noodle on, because we haven't talked about this player once, and he was a player on last year's team who is a role player. he is expected to be, let's say, a role player again, is Sincere Harris. And our friend Bricker has a theory about him that he's actually right-handed. So I want you to noodle on that as you watch him play, because he dunks with his right hand often. He'll often have like times where he's not thinking about it and he'll like lay the ball up with his right hand. But then when he's like obviously shooting, he's shooting with left hand. He shot like 20% from the free throw line last year. Like, there's some evidence to be said that he is not naturally left-handed, but shoots lefty. That being said, I do have a counterpoint to that, which is he's kind of got that Devin Witherspoon lefty hunch going. Trent had it a little bit.
Counterpoint is that he plays lefty.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's debatable. Once again, how many points did he score against Kansas? I think he scored 2 points, and it was a right-handed layup. So, I mean, the numbers are the numbers. Right now, he is 100% of his points from the right hand.
Right hand.
Oh, okay. God, you know
we'll
just...
tally.
Oh, my God. You know you just need to get to the regular season when we're bringing up conspiracy theories about what handed our basketball players are. This is how you know that we're done with the preseason here and we're ready to get on. I'm craving the start of the season. I'm craving Moorhead State next week.
Let the Gavitt games begin.
On November 7th here. All right, should we call it, guys? Should we call it? This was fun. How was it? Felt good to get back into it. Did it feel good to get back in? It's just like riding a bike, recording these podcasts. We'll try to be consistent with it this year. And give you all some content to chew on here. Hopefully there's a lot to talk about this year. Hopefully there's lots of more ups than downs. And hopefully we're doing this podcast into April, huh? But thanks for listening, everyone. We'll catch you on the next episode of the Boardroom ILL.